Hey kids, what do you want? Here's some options up here. Would you like a go-kart? Would that be cool? Or a labubu? Aren't those cute? Or maybe a Nintendo Switch. Maybe this is what you want. Or a Lego Technique sports car. Or a VR headset. Wouldn't that be great? What is it you want? Which one would you choose? Because I know kids like toys. Just this week, we were shopping at a store, and this store had little miniature cars on display, little trucks, little cars all over the place. And there was a kid crying because he wanted that. And he said, I heard the parents say, it's not even for sale. Oh, we all want something. But let me ask you a question as you think about what you would really want. What would you be willing to give up to get what you really want? What would you give up? Now let's take it a step farther. Would you be willing to give up the thing you want to get the thing you want? That doesn't make sense, does it? Would you give up the thing you want to get the thing you want? Now, this is Children's Sunday, but I just want you to know, adults, you can play along too. So what do you want? Adults, do you want a house? Like that? Or a car? I don't know if this is nice enough. Or maybe a nice vacation. Yeah. Can you see yourself in that hammock? What is it you want? What would you give up to get what you really want? We're going to talk about a lady and the legacy she left, but before we do that, we need some background so that we understand the story. Here's the background. Having children at that time that we're looking at was a key thing for a woman to do. For multiple, she had status in the community when she had children, especially boys. And you think, well, that's very sexist. Here's why. They didn't have retirement accounts. Your children were your retirement accounts. And so when your daughter got married, she would leave and she would be a part of another family. And so if you didn't have any sons, you were sunk. And so you had all the kids you could get, and then they would provide for you as you got too old to work. So they needed children in that culture. So let's jump in now. 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting in verse 9. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli, the priest, was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow. A vow is a really strong promise, commitment. She made this vow. O Lord of heaven's army, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son... See, that's the thing she really wanted. I showed those toys up there and those vacations and the houses and the cars. That's what she wanted. She wanted a son. Then I will what? What you going to do? I will give him back to you. What? What did she want? A son. What would she do if she got a son? I'll give him back. That's crazy. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. Wow. So let's walk through this passage and learn about Hannah. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And it said she talked about her sorrow. So what can we learn from Hannah? The first thing we learn is express your emotions to God. Can I ask a very personal question? Have any of you ever been angry? Really, really ticked off? Have you been like you're gritting your teeth? It is okay to express that to God. Have you been really, really happy? You can express that to God. Have you ever been really, really sad? You can express that to God. You can express your emotions to God. Here's the deal. He already knows you're ticked off. And he's a little concerned that you're behind the wheel of a car, as are the other people on the road. No, God cares about that. And we need to stop and communicate to God what our emotions are. That's what Hannah did. She expressed her emotions to God. Why? Why? Because it builds your relationship with God. God already knows, but as you share that with him, it builds your relationship. Let's say you had a friend. And have you ever had a friend that kind of felt off? Not off, but just like something was wrong. And you said, "What's going on? How are you?" "Fine." "What's going on? You sound like you're upset." "No, I'm fine." And they won't tell you what's going on. They keep saying they're fine. Does that deepen your relationship? Or does it make it more surface? It doesn't deepen the relationship. But if you have a friend, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, I haven't shared this with anybody else, but here's what's going on in my life, and this is what's happening." And they begin to share their emotions with you. It builds a relationship. And that's what happens when we express our emotions to God. If you want scripture for that, you can go all the way through the Psalms. There are all these psalms, and David and the other psalmists are just pouring out their heart to God. And in fact, one time, David, in Psalm 109, he's going, like, "God, strike him dead. May his wife be a widow. May his children be fatherless." What's he talking about? Is that okay? Is it okay to kill people when you're angry? No. But is it okay to say to God, "I am so frustrated. I'm so frustrated. I'm so angry right now." I was thinking about that psalm one time, a number of years ago. Some of you know who this guy is. I'm a graduate of the Tim Allen School of Home Repair. And so I usually work on things and make them worse so that I have to call someone who's an expert. And I had an issue with my water softener. And so because I know nothing about them, I figured I could fix it. And I started doing something. I think I started regenerating and I did something, and all of a sudden the thing goes and it stopped, but the motor didn't stop, it just stopped running and it was jammed. And so I unplugged it and I called and they said, "Oh yeah, all our service people are out for the day. We won't be able to get to it to Tuesday of next week." And what? Oh man, now I did it. I'm so mad at myself for trying to do something. And then It's time. I got to take the van across town. The radiator's bad. I need to get the radiator worked on. So I drove it across town, and it was a three-quarter ton van, and it was just a real tank to drive. And I'm driving it over there, and I get over there, and I say, "Hi, I've got my van. I got my van here." And he goes, "We can't get to it today." "What do you mean you can't get to it today? I have an appointment. You said to bring it at 11." I said, and he said, "No, I told you that if you had it here by 8, it would be done by 11. There's no way I can get to it today." So the steam began going. Have you ever seen that? Just I'm driving home. I'm so angry. And Psalm 109 comes to mind. It's okay to express to God how you're feeling. And so I said, "God, I'm so angry. I wish I could kill something." You know what happened at that moment? A bolt of lightning. No, in fact, the exact opposite. This sense of peace just came over me and absorbed all the anger out of my body. And I was like, oh. You can express your emotions to God. And I learned in that moment that it's okay to do that. So be like Hannah. Hannah poured out her heart to God in prayer. And then what did she say? "Answer my prayer and give me a son." Present your needs to God. That's what Hannah did. What is it that you need? Ask God for it. What is our tendency instead of asking God? Our tendency is to worry and fret, But Philippians 4:6, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done." So God said, tell him what he needs. And sometimes we feel, well, if I ask God for something, isn't that kind of selfish? No, it's obedience. God said, ask him for what you need. And so we ask him, what is it that you need? What do you need? Let's just pause right now. And we're going to pray. And you say, "Dear God, I need this right now." Tell the Lord what you need. Father, thank you that you are the source of a good and perfect gift. Then what happened next? 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20. In due time. When? In due time, she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I asked the Lord for him." When did God answer her prayer? In due time. How long is that? Well, we need to wait for God to provide. Wait for God to provide. God's timing is perfect, but it doesn't feel perfect. We just wait and wait. And waiting is one of God's favorite tools to refine us. You look through Scripture, and he makes people wait. I mean, Moses, he was on the backside of the desert how long? 40 years. That's a long time. It's a long time. And we think, oh, this is the end. I remember March 21st, 2019, I was looking for a wife. Had been looking for over 2 years, and I was so frustrated. And I started this complaining poem to God. It's like, wah, 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 wah. Complain on March 21st. Little did I know, 4 days later, March 25th, I'd meet Sandy. Somebody give me her name. You don't know. The answer may be right in front of you. And we tend to say, oh, I'm done waiting. Wait for God. People of great faith, wait. People of great faith, wait. So, names, I don't know if you know this, names mean different things. Like my oldest granddaughter, her name is Vivienna Bell, and that means full of life and beauty. Isn't that cool? So, what does your name mean? Have you ever thought about that? The name Alex means defender of mankind. That should have a banner on your chest with that one. Ethan means strong, firm, and resilient. Jordan means to flow down or to descend, like the river, but it emphasizes the aspects of strength and vitality. Jasper means the bringer of treasure. And Cora means heart or maiden. And Maddie has the idea of a high tower or a place of safety. Those are what names mean. So what's the name in this passage? The name is Samuel. Hannah named her son Samuel, which means heard of God. God heard me. God heard me. I can't believe it. God actually heard me. Here's how we apply that to our lives. Remind everyone of God's faithfulness. Every time people heard Samuel's name, they were reminded of God's faithfulness. Heard from God. Samuel, heard from God. Samuel is here because God heard Hannah's prayer. And every time they heard that name, they would remember that. In 1993, we were moving to Osceola, and we were looking for a house, and we didn't have enough for a down payment. And we were put in contact with a Chinese builder. And he built houses, and he said this to us, something similar to us. You, pastor, you help people. I help you. I build you a house. And so he took the money that we had for a down payment, and he built us a house for that. And he took care of that. And then here's the deal. We were so blown away by that we went to that lot when all it was a pile of dirt. And as a family, we climbed up on that pile of dirt and we said, "This on this mount, God provides." And we named that place and we dedicated it to Jehovah Jireh. And I'd almost forgot about that, but I don't know, a couple of years ago, 5 years ago or so, was talking with the kids, and somebody said, "What do you remember of growing up?" And my daughter said, "Oh, that time we prayed for the house." It was like, really? And she talked about how meaningful that was, that we dedicated that. And so find ways, remind yourself of God's faithfulness. What can you do in your family? Here's an idea. You need an app jar. Kids, tell your parents that you need an app jar. App stands for answered prayer. And you just get a jar and you write AP on it. And every time God answers a prayer, you write it on a piece of paper and you slip it in that jar. And you don't read them until Thanksgiving. And on Thanksgiving Day, you open up that jar and you read all the ways that God has answered prayer, and Thanksgiving will feel like Christmas. You'll be, "Oh yeah, that's right, he did that. Oh, yeah. Oh, I almost forgot about that. Oh, he did that. Oh, yeah. So that's one way to just remind yourself of how faithful God has been in your life. Verse 24 of 1 Samuel 1. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle at Shiloh. They brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. Sir, do you remember me? Hannah asked. I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked him to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I'm giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worshiped the Lord there. Hannah followed through on her commitment and gave Samuel to serve the Lord for his entire life. So here's our application. Follow through on your commitment to God. Have you ever said to God, God, if you get me out of this, I'm going to do this? You ever been in a fix and said, God, if you get me out of this, I'm never going to bet on anything again. If you get me out of this, I'm never going to, you fill in the blank. Have you followed through on that commitment? And God began speaking to Samuel as he's laying down to sleep. Do you hear noises when you fall asleep at night? We used to have frogs that would sing to us as we'd go to sleep. But Samuel's going to sleep, and he heard Samuel. So he'd run to Eli. Eli, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. And then Samuel jumped up and ran to Eli. I'm here. I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. He did that 3 times. Then finally Eli goes, God is speaking to you. Next time you hear your name, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And that's what he did. And God spoke to him. God spoke to him. 1 Samuel 3:10, and the Lord came to him and called, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. So, all right, I didn't tell you, but there's going to be a test. What does Samuel mean? Heard of God. So what happened to Samuel? I just think this is really cool. Heard of God, that's Samuel, right? Heard of God, heard from God. Heard of God, heard from God. Isn't that cool? So the name is more than just an identification. It's a mark of character, what you're going to do, what your role is. God, and Samuel led the country, and he continued to hear from God. Heard of God, heard from God. And then in chapter 3, verse 11, then the Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from the beginning to the end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sons of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices and offerings. That's a shocking contrast of legacies. See, on one hand, you have Hannah's legacy of her son Samuel, and she gave him to the Lord to serve the Lord for his entire life. And Samuel led Israel for a number of years. And then Samuel anointed King Saul and anointed King David. He was a leader in Israel. That's a good legacy, right? What's Eli's legacy? On the other hand, Eli's commitment to God was wishy-washy. His sons were worse. They were blatantly evil, and Eli refused to restrain them. It's a legacy of disaster. And Eli just fudged a little bit, but his sons were way worse. What parents allow in moderation, their children will excuse in excess. What parents allow in moderation, their children will excuse in excess. And so leave a legacy of commitment to God. Leave a legacy of commitment to God. And it can start very young. Diane was 3 years old when she gave her heart to Jesus. When she was 13, she began teaching children in Sunday school. And she taught kids almost her entire life. When our daughter Karen was 3, Diane led her to the Lord. And today, they're teaching at a Christian school in South Korea. It's just that legacy, her legacy keeps growing and growing and growing. And you can have a legacy like that. Leave a legacy of commitment. So, we're talking about hearing from God. That's what Samuel means. How do you hear from God? How can you leave a legacy of commitment? Here's the bottom line. Read God's Word daily to hear from God. Read God's Word daily to hear from God. Say, boy, I would like to hear God speak to me. There it is. There it is. That's God's Word. It's God's Word to you, and He will speak to you through His Word. As we get into His Word, He changes us. He refines us. Every time I pick it up and read it, it's like, oh yeah, oh yeah. There was a man that was sneaking around his son's bedroom door. Parents, do you do that? The door was cracked open a little bit. Diana and I would do that with our kids. They were hilarious. And this dad was peeking in on his son, and his son was praying. And his son was kneeling by his bed. And he heard his son pray, "Dear God, make me a man like my dad." And the dad was kind of swelled with pride. And then he was like, oh, man. And the father went to his bedroom, and he knelt and he prayed, "Dear God, make me the man my son needs me to be." And that's my challenge to you. Would you stand with me this morning? That would be our prayer. Dear God, through your word, through speaking to us, make us the parents we need to be. Make us the children that you need for years to come. Let's pray together. Father, we are your servants. Work in and through our lives for your honor and for your glory. Thank you for the example of Hannah. Thank you for the example of Samuel. You have answered prayer. You are faithful. Day in and day out, you are faithful. So we commit ourselves to you. Thank you for what you're going to do in us, and then for what you're going to do through us as we serve our community and our neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.